to you from God, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. I joked with Silas earlier this week that it would be much easier for me to preach on these texts if I were a good Baptist who believed in the rapture. But this is part of our gospel story. Jesus telling us of the end, of wars, of insurrections, of the temple being torn down. Jesus has been in this section of Luke. He's been teaching at the temple. We heard last week his discussion with the Sadducees about the resurrection of the dead. He's been teaching and teaching and gathering people around him at this place that was so integral to Jewish understanding of God and their faith. This is where God lived. This is where they went to meet God, this place, this temple. They spent their lives and their parents' lives and their grandparents' lives building it, worshiping God through the work of their hands, so that they would have a beautiful place for God to live, for them to go and meet God. And they take a moment while they're there to look around and admire that work. It surely was a beautiful sight. And then Jesus tells them, all of this will be gone one day. All of this will be torn down. Not one stone will be left upon another. The temple, the place you go to meet God, will be destroyed. Understandably, his disciples, his followers, all of whom were good Jewish men and women who believed in that they would meet God there, were upset. They wanted to know more. They wanted Jesus to tell them exactly when this would happen, exactly what it would look like, and how they would know in advance. How often have we wanted God to tell us exactly what will happen, exactly what it will look like, and how we will know in advance, especially when it's something unpleasant? This gospel was actually written after the temple was destroyed. It only stood for about 6 years completed before the Romans came in and tore everything apart. So when Luke was putting all of this down, he could remember the battalions of Roman soldiers, people being hurt and killed in the streets, everything they had worked for the glory of their God, being desecrated and destroyed. The things Jesus has to say are hard to hear. There will be wars and insurrections, famines, plagues, earthquakes, nations rising against nations and kingdoms rising against kingdoms. Chaos. Pain, death, hunger. The thing is, all of this sounds very familiar. In our world right now, there are wars and insurrections, nations rising against nations and kingdoms against kingdoms, famines, earthquakes, death, pain, and hunger. This is the world we live in. The world that is a product of sin. Nations go to war because of decisions made by people that are made in sin. People are killed, people are hurt, people are hungry because of systems that value some over others. Because of systems that give more to those who have plenty by taking away from those who do not have enough. The world we live in is marked by sin in every way. And Jesus knew this and knew his disciples needed to hear about what to do if they ever were overwhelmed by this reality. Jesus tells them, when you hear of these things happening, do not be terrified. Do not be terrified. With the communication we have available to us, we hear of these things almost instantaneously. Through Twitter, through the internet, we know of pain happening across the world. And if we let ourselves, it is so easy to be lost in terror and fear and despair, to be overwhelmed by the sin and brokenness of our very world. But Jesus tells them and tells us, do not be terrified. He also talks about things that will happen in their own lives. We've been studying the book of Acts over the past several months, and we see the disciples, the people who followed and loved Jesus, being taken to prison, being put to death, being given opportunities to testify to what they have learned. And we have seen the story of the church growing in that time. Because Jesus gave them a promise. You will not be alone in the midst of this sin. You will not be alone in the midst of the wars, of the famine, of the plagues. You will not be alone when you are persecuted. The Holy Spirit will come and will give you words to say. The Holy Spirit will come and be with you in the midst of this broken world. I'm the kind of person who could get caught up in the despair, in the brokenness, in the pain. My heart can begin to ache because how can we possibly make this right again? When people are put in prison incorrectly or for too long, when people are going hungry every day and I have more than enough food on my table, when governments are sending their children to fight their battles, to die at far too young an age. It is in those times that I remember Christ's words, "Do not be terrified, for you will have the Spirit with you." Last week, a few of us went to go listen to Rick Steves, a travel author, speak about travel as a spiritual act. If you know Rick Steves, you know he's been doing this work for a long time, and he has grown in what he is learning through travel. And he told us about a project he's working on that'll come out in just a few months called Hunger and Hope. He went to Guatemala and Ethiopia, two places that are huge examples of hunger, of poverty, of the brokenness of the world that is leaving children starving. And he went to those places and he filmed and he talked to people. And he says in his hour-long video, he spends 5 minutes on the despair, on the pain, on the hunger. And he spends 55 minutes on the hope. Because in those places that are such obvious examples of the brokenness of our world, there are such strong examples of hope, of God working through people to bring goodness and food, sustainability. Do not be terrified. are not alone. God is already at work in the brokenness. God is already there where people are hungry, dying, in pain. God does not approve of this brokenness of the world. God does not send enemies against one another to create more pain. God is with the people who are creating answers, who are supporting women starting their own businesses so they can feed their family, who are building wells in villages so people don't have to spend their whole lives just walking to have enough water to drink, who are working for peace in places where it seems that peace cannot exist. Do not be afraid. God will give you the words to say, because God is already there, at work. Do not be overwhelmed by the despair of sin. Instead, look to our God who loves, who heals, who reconciles and forgives. Look outside and see what God is doing. And then go and join God. Take part in the healing of the nations. Take part in the healing of relationships. Take part in making sure everybody has food on their table and in their bellies. This is what we are called to do as disciples of Christ. Not to focus on the end of the world. Not to focus on what will be torn down. What time it will happen. What day it will be. What it will look like. We know eventually all of this will end and God will restore all of the world, but we can't know when that's going to happen or how that's going to happen. Instead, God wants us to focus on what God is doing here and now. Do not be afraid. Do not be terrified. God is with you. God is giving you words to speak, testimony to give.